What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. It's episode 2 of season 8.
Oh, wow.
I am the great and tired mystery.
And I'm Jay, clone 50. Number 50. 50.
Really big show. Got a really big show.
Really big.
We're going to talk about the Kidrick Swamp What's It.
Who's it?
The Who's It, What's It.
How?
Heffalumps and Woozles, right? Was that what it was?
What's that from?
Winnie the Pooh. Remember, it was elephants and weasels, but it was heffalumps and woozles that were always trying to get honey.
I don't remember. I'm not all the way up on my Winnie the Pooh lore. I know Christopher Robin. Oh, Christopher Robin.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, so this is from Adam Benedict. Check out his books, Monsters in Print, Ghost in Print, and Oddities in Print.
Great books.
But he did an article about this. There's not much information on it, and he pretty much had already collected all of it. So, but if you're newer to the show, Wednesdays we like to do the ones, the unheard ofs, the ones we don't really have a lot of information on, the ones you really can't make an hour out of, but we still want to talk about. So this is one I've seen and I didn't know anything about, but like I've seen it on like MetaZoo cards and in some art things and stuff like that.
MetaZoo is always doing the deep dive one-off cryptids.
But yeah, there's not a lot on this. But yeah, so we're going to talk about this. This is an example of a weird thing starts happening in location A and miles away in location B, something weird also starts happening. Rather than take the time to go thoroughly investigate each occurrence at the same amount of time and energy, it's easier for the media and amateur researchers to kind of lump all of these in as one thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Whenever you're looking into this, and Adam already did all this research for us, it kind of makes it hard to see what the what's it actually is.
Because they make the accounts.
Two things kind of happening at the same time, and close
they
enough.
They lump them into one experience.
Yeah.
I can see that.
But yeah, there's not much. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist or it didn't exist at all. It may be the point of wrongly categorizing and nobody even addresses the error. Mm. The name of the creature isn't even consistent. The witness in Boyer's book, which noted as being a U.S. Forest Service employee, refers to its name that he made up, but also states that others were more likely to be calling it something different each time they seen it. So the Kidrick Swamp What's It was coined by one of Boyer's books.
Okay.
When this park ranger talking about this creature. But he was even the park ranger said that he had heard other creatures being seen in the area with different names.
Okay, gotcha.
So there's just a lot of confusion around this.
Yeah, it's already a little muddy.
What adds to this confusion and difficulty in researching the classic monster fashion, the Kidrick Swamp What's It appears to look different to everybody who sees it in that swampy wetland. Some woodsmen who have claimed to see this thing report that it looks somewhat like a llama or an alpaca.
Okay.
So long neck, big ears, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
But has much more reddish colored fur, and the head just looks odd, is all they would say.
Okay.
So a big, weird swamp llama.
With a long neck.
Llamas have long necks.
Well, yeah, I guess you said llama. Sorry.
Llama alpaca, long red hair.
Hmm.
Like that $50 one at the auction.
$50 one?
Remember that one? That one llama went for $50?
Oh, was that a llama or a alpaca?
It was a llama.
Okay, it was?
Yeah, there were two llamas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an adult and a... Wasn't there a young one, too?
Yeah. Just everybody they wanted the other color. They didn't want the red one.
Gotcha, yeah. So, I remember that. Oh, now I remember.
The one went for like $350, yeah. And the other one went for $50.
It was nuts. Yeah, that was wild. Small animal auctions. If you guys do not go to them at home, I would...
They're weird.
I would highly recommend.
Know what you see.
No. Like a water buffalo. A baby water buffalo.
I just seen a herd of water buffalo this past weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and so Emily awesome. Were traveling. Anyways, they say it moves quickly on four legs, stomping to stand tall in its soggy, swampy home below the long grass surrounding it before it takes back off into the tall trees that make up the border of the swamp. Other witnesses claim to what's it, claim to appear and resemble a creature of a cross between a possum and an alligator.
Well, that's a bit different than a llama. Just a bit. A possum alligator? But where's the neck? Or the long legs?
I don't know. Any of it. It doesn't look anything like it.
No.
And it moves around on four small feet close to the ground and slinks between the shrubs and fallen trees in its swamp. So it moves much more like an alligator when other people see it.
Okay.
And yet again, it is said to be covered in red fur, but this time it appears to possess some horns on its head. Finally, there's even more bizarre descriptions of the what's it, where it says it looks a lot like a creature that has already been described in two bizarre ways. This is what they say. Imagine a full-sized hippo slowly lumbering along through the forest. Now imagine a large muskox walking alongside in the opposite direction. When the two giants meet head-to-head in the middle of the swamp, they merge together and form one extremely large abomination.
Okay.
What you have just created in your mind is what one witness claimed the what's it actually looks like.
Hmm. Whatever this abomination of these two.
We have a swamp llama.
Llama.
We have a possum gator. And we have a Redford horn creature. And then we have a hippo muskox.
Merged.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Now, I could typically jump on board with any kind of weird cryptid descriptions at this point. But even Adam here says he has a difficult time accepting a giant hippo ox lumbering around a 4,000-acre swamp in northern Wisconsin.
Well, what gets me even more than just that is the merging that they witnessed.
They didn't witness that. They were saying, imagine that in your head.
Oh, okay, okay.
He was trying to paint you a picture.
Understood now. Okay. Well, at least the llama or the hippo, what do you say, otter combo? Or muskox, what do you say?
Muskox hippo combo.
Oh, muskox. I was thinking muskrat.
The big goat.
Yeah. Muskox. Okay. That's a big muskox, big round one.
How much do you think a muskox weigh is compared to a hippo?
A lot less. I don't know. Mm. I just figure muskox is like 600-700 pounds. Am I way off?
No, you're exactly on it. A full-grown muskox is between 600 and 700 pounds.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's weird. That's really weird.
And a full-grown hippo is normally between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds, but yeah. Males can reach 4,000 to 5,000 pounds.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay. So hippos are significantly bigger.
Yeah.
About four times, three times, I don't know. No, okay, okay. But yeah, at least that's close enough the height-wise to a llama. It doesn't have the neck or nothing, but it's not crawling around with it, rubbing its belly on the ground like an alligator would, or even a possum does. They do. I guess possums and, yeah, it's they don't have that long of legs. They're pretty short. Very different, though.
So you have extremely different creatures being seen in the Kidrick Swamp
right.
in Wisconsin. But that's kind of your core group. So I don't even know. Like this, like I said, there's not a lot to this. And Adam, you know, he compiled more than I'd seen anywhere else. So that's why we're using Adam's work. Mm-hmm. We've used Adam's work before. But please check out his books.
Yes, please. Adam Benedict.
Just I have all of his books.
Google Adam Benedict books.
The Pine Bearing Institute. You can get everything there.
Mm.
So although some individuals believe they have seen the What's It in Kidrick Swamp, basically this thing was created by reaching into a grab bag of random creature parts, pulling out the weirdest ones and smashing them together in whatever order you wanted. But what did the witness who interviewed for the book, what did he see? Well, the description he gave was pretty much in line with what everybody else sees. He saw something very weird.
Okay.
But the difference between the witness in Boyer's book and other individuals who had claimed to see the thing, he had encountered only one fully recorded written form.
Okay.
And it was from a person named Peyton, no last name given.
Oh.
The U.S. Forest Service employee who spoke to Dennis Boyer for his book stated that he had been personally collecting stories of strange creatures for upwards of 20-plus years, and he had been able to come across various newspaper articles regarding the creature and even a few accounts of lumbermen speaking of the beast back when Wisconsin was still in its logging prime. He spoke about how when he first heard about it, he believed that it was probably nothing more than an escaped exotic animal from a nearby circus or carnival. But after looking into its possibilities more, he started to think the stories involved a strange creature went back further than he originally thought. Roughly at the time before traveling circuses were even coming to Wisconsin. So he continued to do research, speaking to members of local Native American tribes and hunters who had caught glimpses of weird things running through the woods and the swamp. But after each talk of these individuals, he felt no closer to figuring out what the what's it actually was. That one day, while out in the swamp, he had his own sighting finally. While walking through the wetland part of the Forest Service duties, Peyton caught sight of something moving quickly through the shadowy area of the swamp. Intrigued by the odd shape of the thing, the forest employee turned his attention to the general location in which he had moved and focused on hoping to catch a glimpse of it again. And surprisingly, after a few minutes, he actually did. The man watched his creature that was about the size of a large dog quickly move into his line of sight from behind some shrubbery, and into a wall of trees bordering the swamp. The strange creature, he states, was covered in a good amount of reddish-brown fur that was hanging very low in places, almost dragging on the wet ground underneath it. He saw what appeared to be some sort of horn growing out of its head, and it looked like patches of rhinoceros skin were below the fur.
Hmm.
This thing had long, completely hairless tail that was dragging on the ground behind it.
There's your possum.
It possessed noticeably large yellow eyes. The creature's large mouth, he claimed, appeared to be held a bunch of round, almost puckered state.
A round, puckered mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like an aardvark is what I pictured.
I or like know. A red horse sucker.
Oh, there you go. After only a quick few minutes, the what's it was gone, fleeing back towards its hidden home among free from the gaze of men. Finally, after years of searching, Peyton had seen the creature for himself. He could, without a doubt, state, yes, people are truly seeing something odd in the Kidrick Swamp. But before I continue reading, so he's seen, it seemed to be like the possum gator type.
Right.
But it has a horn, it's the size of a large dog, red-brown fur, rhino-like skin. So it almost seems like a mini, like a Javan rhino.
Mixed with a squonk.
Or that, or I even get some Hodag vibes.
I was going to say that earlier, but I didn't want to mixed cryptids and folklore.
Wisconsin, same state.
I guess you're right. What if this is
the red Hodag?
Or, I mean, just even kind of origin that inspired Hodag lore, you know? Is that...
No, I mean, it could be. I don't know.
I don't know which one came first.
I have no idea.
I mean, I have my thoughts of what... I mean, I don't think it's some... I just don't think it's an unknown animal, this one. Like what? an out-of-place animal.
What?
Maybe it could be. You probably got some options that could fit the bill, but...
Wisconsin's got some weird stuff. Another episode I'll do eventually is Adam has a cool article about mini mastodons being seen.
Oh, cool.
Like dog-sized mastodons being seen.
Mm.
That's one thing I thought this could be. For anybody that know, a mastodon is like a mammoth, but not.
Just like shorter, stockier.
But just as heavy.
Just as heavy.
But they preferred wetlands and forest.
Right, as opposed to the big like plains.
Yeah, mammoths were plains, grass. They mostly ate grass. And mastodons mostly ate trees, bark, wetland plants.
And honey locust seed pods.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, which I think there's some ready right now. We should probably get those before the birds get them.
So he could not, you know, with a doubt, say that people are seeing weird. But at the moment, he said he didn't really care anymore. He finally knew it was real and realized it wasn't hurting anybody. So he really wasn't a reason to bother it anymore.
That's true.
It's just a weird thing that lives out in the swamp, and it doesn't do anything to anybody.
Right. So leave it alone.
Like the Grafton Monster.
Right. Or like Bosco.
Like Bosco, just a big turtle. There's so many cryptids that just, like,
or never... Oscar. Sorry. The Beast of Churubusco.
Yeah, I mean, we called him Bosco.
I know. That's what we named
him. Oscar the Turtle, but yes. He was going to move on and let it be. Leave the thing alone to live its life in the swamp, whatever it was. His search for the what's it was complete, as far as he was concerned. Interesting story, sure enough, regarding a creature may or may not exist. That's why people have such a hard time, though, setting a classification of what kind of cryptid this is.
Mm-hmm.
Because even that story, I mean, made it sounded like a red Hodag.
Yeah, it doesn't really solve any, or answer any questions.
It is more of a cryptid, or is it more folklore? Peyton stated right away that he had been collecting stories, you know, for years and years. But we hear at Pine Barrens Institute, they could find very, very little of any other creatures in the Kidrick Swamp.
Okay.
So they don't know. They really don't know.
So the search continues, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then some creatures really seem to fit from the Fearsome Critters book.
Okay.
Which is William Thomas Cox, or Luke Sawyer Kenney's, or Harry and Tyrone. Depending on which version of that kind of series you're talking about. We have all three of them here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just not a lot to this. We could just talk about it now, but that's pretty much it. So whether it's like a squunk or a hodag, where...
Like a lumber lore legend.
Where it was a lumber lore legend that took on a little more of a life.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that don't know, the hodag, like if you go to Rylander... There are plenty of people that have said they've seen the Hodag.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of people, like, because there's a riverboat tour you can go take for a Hodag expedition. There is a 150-foot-long Hodag statue in the middle of town.
And we've met people who've been at the, where they seen, they go to pay to see the Hodag at the circus, and it escaped.
Every time.
Every time. Gosh.
It's crafty.
Yeah.
So, I guess... Is this what's it? And I have some options for you. Do you want to start with it's real? Or do you want to start with it's just not real?
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I don't want to say I believe it is real, but what is it, I guess? What's real at that point? Then,
okay, so let's start with it's just not real.
Okay.
Let's just go with that angle.
It's all just a fabrication.
There's very little exist on this.
Right.
And what I read from Adam is the most extensive I could find, and you could tell there wasn't a lot there.
No, we're already through it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was reading very slow.
Yes.
No, so there's just not a lot to the what's it. So there's a good chance that it more falls into a Hodag or a Squonk or a Funeral Mountain Beast, like from the other fearsome folklore, you know, the Gumbaroo, Hoop Snakes.
Snarly Goster. Slide Rock Boulders.
Which, if you notice, it looks like a lot of those things. It kind of, some of the descriptions kind of give it a Snarly Goster, a one horn alligator possum, lives in the swamp, crawls on its belly.
Mm, interesting. Propeller tail. Oh, wait, no propeller tail.
But the, like, the Funeral Mountain Beast and stuff like that, another, look like giant llamas or mooses, but they're goofy and, you know, run weird. Like, it has a lot of Lumberland style stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody doesn't know, most of the Lumberland creatures are fabrications. They're folklore for...
to explain phenomena.
Natural phenomena, like the Slide Rock Boulder. Nobody ever seen the Slide Rock Boulder. They've seen the aftermath of the Slide Rock Boulder.
Right.
Or its glowing eyes on the side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody physically ever seen a Slide Rock Boulder.
But they created that monster.
Yes.
To explain those things they are seeing.
Yeah, rock slides that would take out whole towns and
right.
glowing flames, which were probably glowworms.
So like the Squonk, they were finding these puddles on the mm-hmm. ground. So they created the Squonk to explain the puddles.
The Hodag was made because a guy wanted money.
I mean, that's about why everything's made in the world now.
I don't discredit him.
Yeah.
I mean,
unfortunately, that's how things are.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that this thing falls squarely into that camp, and it never really took root.
Yep. Never spread.
Never really can
their marketing team never really took off. They didn't boost it on Facebook.
What do you call that? Never really coalesced into a fully formed monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of floating in this ether where, yes, people heard stories of it. And so, but your grandpa's story of it, you know, the what's it, because it was fun to talk about, you know, tell around the campfire.
Especially the name. Just, but it's a what's it?
Yeah.
Or,
you know, but his was this giant, like, llama monster.
Yeah.
But your cousin Ted's was this possum gator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where are the true origin stories? Where did it come from? Was it mm-hmm. just someone's imagination? Was it in writing?
I
was it actual witnesses?
I think if we're going with it not real, it was made up at the turn of the century for the Lumberlore stuff, or okay. with the Lumberlore stuff. That maybe the name existed for a local monster, and then they just kind of...
co-opted it.
They painted something for it.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is the what's it.
The what's it. Yeah. It ain't a solid name, but you know it gets there. It gets the job done. So what's it with a silver doodad from Africa on it. That's from Little Nicky.
Oh.
The guy selling it. He stole his flask. I don't know. I just like saying the silver doodad from Africa. I don't know why. So that's if it's not 100% not real. Like we just... if we were to believe it, it is fully just stories. Yeah, I mean, it happens. Hodag, perfect example. But, you know, I kind of have some inkling. Maybe I just wanted this one to be real, but I don't think it's any... I don't think it's just a creature.
Okay.
I think this is where it kind of... well, let's say it is a creature, just an actual animal.
I think there's a good chance it is a creature.
Oh, okay. Now, do you think all of them, or do you think it's separate?
Let's go, okay.
All right.
Let's say it's flesh and blood, and it's not paranormal.
Yeah. Like,
at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an unknown creature. What I think a good example of what's happened here is an area that has a reputation. People go into the swamp. It's a huge swamp. It's a huge wetland, marsh. People go into it all the time, but you can't really move around in it.
Okay.
I think that it holds a reputation. It's held a reputation for over 100 years of having some kind of monster in it.
Okay.
So I think anytime there's a loose livestock or any other animal in it,
that's the monster.
That's the monster, because you just see pieces of it. So, mm-hmm. like, the llama type thing was probably an escaped llama.
Could be.
And you just seen a piece of it running through the swamp. Or the big, what's it, with horns, the hippo with horns, a cow.
Mm.
A loose cow, but you don't see the whole cow. I'm just saying that, you know.
See parts of it.
And cows are great swimmers.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
don't realize that. Cows can swim. They don't like to, but they can.
Right, yeah.
And... so what if it's, you know, those kind of things? You know, so you're on edge. We talk about that with people, with some of the Bigfoot stuff, that if you're everything's a Bigfoot, if you really want it to be.
Right. Every sound, every twig breaking, every bluff if charge.
You're in this area.
Every 800-pound gorilla charging you and it's just screaming it in your face. It's just a gorilla, guys.
So, feral dogs.
Oh.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Like, the guy was describing just sounded like a giant black, like a Burmese mountain dog or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was not great. So, the rhino-like skin, if he's real and telling the truth, could be mange that causes that to look like that. Mm-hmm. Big patches fall off, and you just kind of look like a monster. Bears. There are bears in the swamp.
Bears with mange are very scary.
Yeah, or even, I'm just saying, seeing pieces of them.
Right.
Because you want there to be a what's-it.
Right.
I seen the what's-it today. I seen it, you know, it was giant and huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of that going on, that the what's-it is still not real, but it is real. Where it's mis-ID'd, normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill creatures, but you have this mindset to where the what's-it lives out here. And then you just see a piece of something run by.
Right, and then... And your brain,
I just seen the what's it.
Your brain fills in the gaps.
Yeah.
What about the possum tail thing? What would explain? Is there an animal that explained that away?
Well, the giant dog, they had the possum tail.
Yeah.
Mange.
Okay, so no fur.
He can reach it, and he'll chew his fur off, essentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's everything from you can get like actual like skin rot and swamps.
Ugh.
Well, you know what trench foot is, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what's caused by that is long-term moisture exposure.
Yep, in your boots.
Yeah, believe me. I worked at one of the only jobs you can still get trench foot in North America.
Did you get it?
We got close. I swear sometimes I was like, I may have to go to the hospital with trench foot.
Oh, that's so gross, though. Stink foot.
No, I mean, just like pieces. Never mind. It's not. It's
sloshing
not
sloshing off.
Yes.
Nah, not good at all.
And we were in waiters. But it's just like your bodily fluids.
Ugh, so gross.
It's not great.
No.
You got lungworms.
You know, you're not selling me on this job opening that we've been hinting at applying for.
Well, the administrative one, you don't have to go out in the field.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I can just pee in my own shoes inside.
Mm-hmm. $100,000.
So gross.
So, no, let's talk about what the what's it could be.
So, yeah.
More cryptid angle.
So, I was thinking more like the suit. I guess supernatural, like elemental side of things, maybe.
Okay.
So, like, maybe not so much, kind of like, speaking of how Bigfoot Jamboree just this past weekend happened, we had Randy there talking, and like his property, you know, he's very active with Bigfoot, but
yes,
there's some weird stuff going on there mm-hmm. too. And I'm wondering if this area is kind of like that weird. Where whatever animal it is presenting itself differently, maybe based on the user, or not the user, the individual so witnessing it.
You kind of got to where my final thing was it's a window area.
Yeah.
They're not the same creature. They're not changing or looking different. It's just a spot where either you could say like the time portals, these are animals from the past.
Oh, so you think they're separate creatures maybe coming through.
And this is just an area that happens to be where they're caught a lot, like coming in and out. Because all the creatures described sound like megafaunal from the U.S.'s past.
Okay, yeah.
There was even things that were aquatic furry mammals, like they were being seen, the gator possum things. We had several animals like that. In evolutionary theory, the ancestors of whales look like that.
Yeah.
Big dog, gator heads, fur still, big feet, but, you know, big bear tail.
Gosh. Imagine like a whale-sized whale coming up out of the water, but it has just like a little feet and a German shepherd head. You know how scary that would be?
They exist.
Huh?
Well, kinda. Not the floppy ears, but like dolphins, basically.
I meant furry, like nose, big teeth. Like literally a German giant
one with big teeth.
Or what about one with a giant pug head? It's coming out of like, and it goes back under the water. How scared would you be for like a 40-foot pug-headed whale?
It's called a manatee.
Breached. I mean, but literally the exact fur, everything, ears is a pug.
I don't know. But so that's one of my thoughts is this is a window area. So nobody's lying or anything like that. It's just weird things. And that's why they're not there. There's no evidence. There's no long terms because the what's it. Isn't a one thing.
You're literally catching glimpses of
things. So it's either
things.
Interdimensional cryptids or creatures, or the time kind of slips we've talked about.
Or I'm thinking more just like elemental, something bound to that excuse me, some fae
putting on faces.
Yeah, putting on faces and putting on a, maybe they're just, I don't know, I guess presenting themselves in a physical way, mm-hmm. and they're just grabbing from examples from maybe different animals or different creatures. Or like you said, what if they're even just pulling from creatures from the past and presenting themselves that way? Just navigating around the woods, maybe wanting to be seen, maybe wanting to be experienced or witnessed by whatever users out there, witnesses out there. I don't know. Maybe it feeds off human energy. It's whatever's bound there. Because some stuff, there's creatures, I just convinced that, like we talked about, exist in different, whether it's different dimensions or different biospheres, like the electromagnetic creatures.
I do think there's a bunch of that there is. Earth has so many stacked, like you said, biosphere. For anybody that didn't know, if you're new to the show, we've done episodes on biospheres. So a biosphere is the tree of life. So as now, except viruses, every documented living thing is sharing the basic building blocks of life. We all are related or share the same rules on a genetic level.
Like the carbon-based tree of life.
From anaerobic bacterium to plants, to fungi, to animals, all of it mm-hmm. share the basic building blocks, even though they can be extremely different.
Right.
So that's a biosphere. So a shadow biosphere is what Jay is talking about, where it is a whole separate tree of life that may be hard to see because it's being overlaid by our biosphere. Mm-hmm. Because it's the one we're in, so it's the easiest one to see. Not that it's more prominent or anything like that. So viruses, there's a lot of accredited scientists that argue that they are a part of what would be the first shadow biosphere to be discovered. Mm-hmm. Because they do not fit our conventional rules of life.
Right.
But they, in my opinion, they are alive. They are just a different form of life. They're crystalline creatures.
It's just different that we just don't, we can't, what's the word? Not conceptualize.
It's very hard. It's why it's like humans can't rationalize affinity.
Rationalize. There you go. Yes. That's the word. I think it's real. I'm still a believer that we don't know what the earth really is that we're standing on. We don't know what this plane of existence is. And we don't know what other planes of existence might overlap our own as well.
So with the physics side of it, mm-hmm. which I think next year I would love to do a paranormal science conference.
That'd be cool.
And that'd just be a ticketed event. We could pay a couple scientists we know to come out.
One Pagan.
One.
If you're listening, One, this is for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've talked to One, and I love One to death. Mm-hmm.
Shoot, Daryl Sims.
He's not a scientist, but he knows a lot.
He has a scientist hat.
He does.
He does. He wears it every time he does any investigation.
Now you got me off track. I don't even remember.
Oh, we're talking about just having a paranormal like science convention. Like
where so when we talk about physics though. Mm-hmm. Even quantum physics that we're just barely understanding, which there's new stuff coming out. We're in season 8 and we have an episode scheduled later this season. Or a new expanded idea of the double slit experiment.
Ooh, so stay tuned. A little foreshadowing.
I'm very excited. I'm waiting for more to come out about it because mm-hmm. it's just now kind of doing stuff with it. Where it is like being in a giant pitch black warehouse looking around with a candle.
Oh gosh, it's like into the void.
Yeah. And that's how we understand. Ooh. And a lot of physicists will tell you that. That's quantum physics and everything, like when we're getting to this. Like we know enough to know that we don't know anything.
Oh, I just realized what this swamp thing is. You just clicked all the dots together.
Quantum physics beast?
Yeah, this area is quantumly entangled with another area from a different world. And so these creatures are quantumly entangled together. So they pop in and out of here and there simultaneously.
There you go.
And you're catching glimpses of the entanglement. The spooky action at a distance.
Spooky action at a distance, which is quantum physics. Everybody doesn't know.
Yeah.
That's the definition of quantum physics.
That's Albert Einstein's definition of it, I guess.
It's not changed.
No, because we don't know how it works.
It's very interesting. But so I think there could be whole life, and I do think there is even animals. I mean, Doctor Who didn't. There was one episode where basically time rifts or quantum rifts or anything like that. We know those exist from their byproducts. These weird gravitational anomalies mm-hmm. we've talked about on the show many times. in magnetic anomalies on Earth, you know, where there's side effects of them. I do think that there's so much energy there that whole different forms of life could have evolved to feed off of those, like, scars.
Well, if there's a niche to be filled, life will fill it.
But that would be your shadow biosphere, that they're electric beings and we can't see them all the time, or they only exist in certain light frequencies. There could be carbon-based life forms that only exist in ultraviolet.
That's wild to think about. I mean, it's true,
that
though.
They are related to us. Well, we just cannot interact. We can interact with them. They're physical.
Yeah.
But you cannot see them. You don't have the hardware in your head. The wetware, I'm sorry.
Like a...
to see them.
Like a Egyptian blue. That blue that...
it's not real.
It is, but you can only view it, see it, that it's blue under ultraviolet light. It pops during that. That's the only time it's visible. That's crazy that even back then, they were developing paints with that in it, because who was looking at it? Who was observing that?
It was for scorpions.
It's for somebody. So it's... Maybe we were able to sense ultraviolet light better back then.
It's for the cats.
Well, there's cats everywhere in Egypt. You might not be wrong.
Remember, they worshipped cats.
Yeah. Maybe there was a cat person that told them, like, this, use this color, and they knocked it off the shelf.
The cat was just like, they like staring at that wall, so let's paint everything that color.
Yeah. Didn't even realize there was an ultraviolet color in it. Yeah.
So they're tripping.
Yeah. The cats really like it.
The Kidrick Swamp, what's it? I mean... I don't really know. I really don't know. I just thought it was a fun little thing to talk about. And
I wonder how many of these areas, though, are around.
I think there's a bunch. I think they are getting rarer.
For sure.
As I think you can destroy them, like any environment. I think a lot of them are covered up.
Yeah.
Where there are government bases put on them. There are the TNT plants put on them. There are installations that are... to be protected, put on top of these things on purpose.
U.S. Forestry Watch houses, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Something like, well, I forget.
Their base camp, their head office was put in the number one Sasquatch sighting spot in Ohio.
In Hocking Hills. Yeah.
You find it. That's where all of the Bigfoot, like a huge percentage of Bigfoot sightings in Ohio took place in that one little spot.
And the government
put a building on top of a cliff.
Yeah.
So right where all the Bigfoot was being seen. It was odd.
Very strange. What if that's the portal area, like, they're crawling out of?
I mean, it could be something. I don't know. It's just, it's odd.
And now they crawl right out into a Faraday cage they have built in the basement of that facility.
And they just start shocking them.
Or just poke it with a stick and it's gone. Go back to your other dimension.
I wonder if anybody's ever done that, worn a Faraday cage and gone out into the woods. That'd be something for Randy's property to do.
Gosh, yeah.
Just see what happens.
Let's just pull one behind put someone in a Faraday cage and pull it behind like a four-wheeler and then just leave them out in the middle of the woods for the night.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd be safer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it would work, but I think at the very least it'd be like, that's weird.
Are Faraday cages, they're not electrified, are they?
No.
Okay.
They can be, but they're not. No, they're just grounding cages.
We need an electromagnetic Faraday cage like an X-Men when he's hooked up to that machine that has all those circles spinning around him.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Magneto, I think? Mm-hmm. That's what it needs to look like.
All right. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this episode of nonsense. And I've been the Great and Tired Mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 50.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye! Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.